In many ways, this month's theme of desire is more intimidating than last month's theme of resistance. Sometimes holding back is easier than a wild embrace. Sometimes taking on a clear opponent is less overwhelming than following a passion that is guaranteed to lead you into the unknown. Sometimes, as Marianne Williamson has famously said, it is our light, not the darkness, that frightens us most. Did you happen to know that Amazon has over 560,000 books listed as self-help books? Have you been to Barnes & Noble lately and walked through the self-help book section? One day I was walking through there and it occurred to me, if these worked, wouldn't there be fewer of them? Funny as that thought was to me at the moment, I don't mean to be glib about self-help books. We all need help, and books can be a great place to find that. But that moment did get me wondering, is there something that keeps us from finding success or healing? To set a goal and achieve it can feel really good, but it also means that one will change. If you set a goal to lose weight and you achieve it, then you will be thinner. The world will see you differently. You will see yourself differently. You will physically relate to the world differently. If you set a goal to earn more money, it will change you. If you meet that goal, if you seek to have a deeper spiritual life, that will also change you. If you seek to be more educated around issues of race and injustice and privilege, it will change you. Change can be frightening. What if you change and you don't like who you become? What if your friends or family don't like you any longer? What is that old saying? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't. We can be afraid of change. Sometimes that looks like procrastination, but that can also be a fear of change. When we are afraid, we often freeze up. We might be afraid of failure, but we might also be afraid of success. What if this is the best sermon? What if this is the best sermon I ever preach? What do I do next week? Do I have to keep on preaching the best sermon I've ever preached? I think that would trigger some writer's block for me. Sometimes we think, I don't really deserve it. We don't let ourselves desire something because it seems impossible. It seems way out of our way of being or thinking, and we don't even try. Why treat ourselves to an afternoon where we relax if we don't deserve it? Maybe we think we need to prove our worth by our productivity. Or sometimes we think, I can't do it. And I think this one is a little different than I don't deserve it. It could be that fear of success is, I'm not good enough to do it, which is a little like I don't deserve it. But there can be a deeper block. Think about a time when you were excited. When we humans get excited, our bodies pump adrenaline into our systems. We become more alert, more attuned. Our heart rate goes up. Think about a time when you were frightened. Our bodies pump adrenaline into our systems. We become more alert, more attuned. Our heart rate goes up. Fritz Perls, the founder of Gestalt Therapy, said it this way: fear is excitement without breath. It may be that for people with a history of trauma, that the bodily reactions to the excitement of success might be too much for them. These feelings are too anxiety-provoking. And I think that's a real thing. I don't think I can legitimately say to a person who has trauma in their background, you know, just set your aim high, go after what you desire. It might be that that person really needs first to find ways to cope and compensate a little, to find a way to be more comfortable in their own body. But it's not just anxiety. Society can send us messages. Our family can send us messages. Our schooling. It's pretty common to hear stories from adults about the horrors of gym class or art class or music class or math class. I had a friend a long time ago who had a daughter who kept nearly flunking out of her high school classes. She was so convinced that she wasn't smart enough to be in school that she just would not hand her homework in. Her parents would sit with her while she did the homework. They supported her in the homework. But when the moment came in school to hand it in, she just wouldn't. She didn't think it would matter. We might not let ourselves desire something because the goal is not worth the effort. This one, at least in my mind, I think has a wee bit more practicality in it. We all set goals, but some are just not worth the effort, and it's important to know what is and is not worth our effort. I can set a goal for myself because I am a free human being that I will be an NBA basketball player. But I can assure you that will not be worth the effort. I could probably learn to speak Mandarin, but the amount of time it would take for me would probably not be worth the amount of time I would actually use Mandarin. But it's also easy for us to fool ourselves with this one. Sometimes the payoff of a goal is a very far way off, and so it doesn't seem like it's worth the effort. Eating healthy and getting some exercise can really help one live a happier, longer life. But when the chocolate cake or apple pie is in front of me, that goal seems very far off and maybe not worth the effort at the moment. Bottom line, we often mute the voice of desire because we're scared of what it's asking of us. We don't want to feel desire because we know it's asking us to change in ways that seem unimaginably hard. But there comes a time when the voice can't be muted. The hunger trumps the fear. The voice in your head keeps saying, "This life is too small. I am selling myself short." If this is true for you, make this the month of wild embrace. Let your desire loose. Don't just lean in, jump in. Here's what I do know. Sometimes we have to mute that voice. We have a sick relative that we have to take care of, or an obligation that just must be met. You can mute that voice for a while and probably be okay. But you cannot mute it forever. Parker Palmer in Let Your Life Speak wrote, "I must listen to my life and try to understand what it is truly about, quite apart from what I would like it to be about. Or my life will never represent anything real in this world, no matter how earnest my intentions." That insight is hidden in the word vocation itself, which is rooted in the Latin for voice. Vocation does not mean a goal that I pursue. It means a calling I hear. Before I can tell my life what I want to do with it, I must listen to my life telling me who I am. I must listen for truths and values at the heart of my own identity. Not the standards by which I must live, but the standards by which I cannot help but live if I am living my own life. Muting that voice of desire long-term means that eventually we mute ourselves. And if we as Unitarian Universalists believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people, that means we must believe in our own inherent worth and dignity. The voice inside has worth and value and wisdom, and when your hunger trumps your fear, that is the time to listen. Here is some inspiration from Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. When I was a kid, probably I was in kindergarten if my memory serves me, I can remember running foot races, except that they were all sort of in my head. I ran for sure, but I did not actually run against anyone else. But in my head, I could hear the roar of the crowd. I could feel the win and the success. Where did that kid go? It's not uncommon as we mature, as we come into adulthood and survive adulthood, to find that childlike innocence has been really badly dented, if not destroyed. Life knocks us down a few times, and we learn the hard way not to expect too much. But what if you let the crowds go wild in your head? What if you ran the race your way? What if you took the chance to look like a fool? What if you reached out beyond your fear into the yet unknown? Imagine what you could be, what you could create. Imagine the ripples that could spread out from you. In a world without end, may this be so.